Welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM, broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, and the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. Today we have another holiday edition of Tantramar Report. We're bringing you a conversation looking back on 2021 with the Mount Allison Students Union President, Charlie Burke. We're going to cover some ground here, talking about changes to sexual violence policies and cultures on campus, looking at the concerns over the Sackville Hospital, talking about the decision to move to mandatory vaccinations on campus. And we'll talk a bit about the changes coming in the new year. This interview was recorded earlier in December before Mount Allison University announced its plans to return to online classes for the first 2 weeks of January, starting January 10th. Here's my conversation with MASU President Charlie Burke. Charlie Burke, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me today.
So we're close to winding down year two of a pandemic. Really, it only started in the spring. So in the spring, we'll be winding down year two. This term at Mount A has been arguably like the closest to normal since the pandemic struck. But unfortunately, it ended with alarm bells going off as we had five cases on campus and Omicron arrived in New Brunswick and the university sort of clamped down a bit and canceled in-person exams. I'm going to start off, how are students doing and how are you doing?
That's a good question. I'm personally doing well. I think we're at this point, and I think most students are probably at this point where, we're flexible and we're adaptable to COVID changes. Obviously, it's not ideal, but I think at this point we've had exams kind of flip-flop and classes flip-flop from online to in-person. So students seem to be happy with the change of moving things online. I think we're all just kind of trying to get away from any outbreak as much as possible and just ready to get home. It's been a long semester, and I think everyone's just ready to kind of get a little bit of a relaxing break.
All right. And I guess there's probably still no word on what January will look like. I know there was plans to return to full capacity, but those may have changed, I'm guessing. And so have students been informed of what their situation will look like in January yet?
Yeah, so there's conversations happening right now about what January is going to look like. And I have a pretty good feeling it's not going to be full capacity like we were assuming. But students, any changes that will be happening will be made very soon. So students are aware as early as possible about like anything that they need to do on their end to support those changes or figure their schedules out and that sort of thing. But there's been no official communication yet. But there's definitely conversations happening right now among the university about, okay, well, how do we make sure we're not just bringing our students back to have another outbreak right away and then needing to switch online again?
Mm-hmm. I know this is sometimes impossible to do, but setting the pandemic aside, what have been, some of the defining issues for the students' union this year? It's been an interesting year. Last year was there was a lot of sort of early controversies. I don't want to say controversies, but sort of big events happening with like sexual assault protests and a sort of provincial election that was sort of messed up. This year, lots of stuff was happening, but, what were the issues that the Mount Allison Students Union sort of took to heart this year?
Yeah, I think aside from COVID, every time I have been reporting to students, I think there's two other things that always come up, and that's sexual violence still and the hospital. So the hospital's been really big this year and a point of concern, just where we're seeing reduced capacity for the emergency room and reduced hours. And that's something we're extremely concerned about. And then as well, just making sure that the, you know, kind of Me Too movement that came out of last year about sexual violence and what needs to be fixed on our campus, that that's not dying off. And we're getting progress. We're getting positive progress. So a lot of stuff, a lot of meetings happening, a lot of committees that came out of that that I've been sitting on this year. And then I guess the federal election that happened at the start of the year was although it's over now, that took up a good bit of time too in the summer. And then as always, I think kind of the highlight and less of a concern, but was how do we make a great fun orientation for all our students coming back. So that was, I wouldn't say it was necessarily a concern, but still something that was, you know, top of mind this year and this summer for us.
Yeah, you're elected in the spring, and so I guess that's sort of your first order of business, right? Getting started on planning how to welcome students back, especially in such weird times when it's not not just business as usual. Yeah,
exactly.
You mentioned sexual violence on campus. Do you feel that the, you know, what's happened so far has been moving things forward? I know the university has actually hired somebody. They've processed sort of the results of the independent review that they had commissioned. Is there hope on the committees that you sit on that the changes that are being made will have a positive effect?
Yeah, I think we're moving in the right direction for sure. I think there's still work that needs to be done, but I'm definitely happy with the progress that is moving forward, and hoping that we'll have like a good system by the end of this year. So they have hired the sexual violence prevention educator coordinator position, and they're looking currently for a intake counselor, so that will be a second hire, and there's a lot of positive things in terms of you know, external review parties will take over investigations now instead of the university, and we're looking to move to form like a judicial panel for sort of sanctions that would come out of that, as opposed to just one person kind of delivering that. So I think Our university's done a really good job of saying, instead of, you know, sexual violence is going to be a very kind of isolated component of student affairs. It's really going to be widespread, and we got to make sure that there's multiple systems set up, but as well, you know, there's multiple people looking at this, and we're recognizing it for the big issue that it is. And so we're definitely moving in the right direction. But yeah, as always, still work to be done, but happy with the steps in place so far.
That's good. Regarding the Sackville Memorial Hospital, just how serious is that reduction in services for students? Is this something that your average student worries about? I mean, often healthcare issues are sort of more pertinent to the older generations because they tend to have more healthcare issues. But are students concerned that they won't be able to get in to the Sackville Hospital when they need someone to help them?
Yeah, I think it's a huge concern. And the biggest kind of issue is that we've seen since the summer is that we just don't know what to expect. And there's constantly changes that are being made. So whether it's, you know, an hour before the weekend, we're told the hospital isn't going to be operating all weekend. We can't even really rely on the current kind of hours that they're saying, because there's always changes and unexpected, unfortunate circumstances that are happening that's keeping our students from the hospital. And so especially now, getting rid of the acute care beds, the hospital is basically turned into like a pharmacy essentially for a lot of our students, which isn't what we need. And we're primarily, our students aren't from Sackville. They're from out of province or elsewhere in New Brunswick, or they're rest of Canada, or international students. And we don't have family doctors in the area. We don't have walk-in clinics that are within walking distance and that sort of thing. And I think it's a huge concern for students of, okay, well, even if I'm mildly sick or I'm mildly injured, like, where am I getting care? And then on top of that, you know, if you're sick or ill after 4 p.m., you can't be at the hospital. And if you're sick and injured enough that you need to be at the hospital for more than a day, or you need to be there past 4 p.m., excuse me, you're going to have to go to Moncton. So it's definitely concerning for us. I think one of the biggest draws and one of the biggest hits that we're going to see is recruitment of students. If there's no hospital or no operating hospital, why would a parent or a student want to be coming to Mount Allison? And so it's definitely at the top of my mind. I mean, even every time I go and play like an intramural hockey game, I'm like, oh, if I got hurt tonight, I would be out of luck until at least the morning, if it was not serious enough that I could wait. So we've been pushing really hard, but we're also, the horizon in the province just hasn't really been responding with the urgency that we need.
Mm-hmm. You also mentioned the federal election in September. I know that MassU always sort of works to get out the vote when elections come around, get out the student vote. Were you pleased with the response to Mount Allison students in terms of showing up at the polls?
Yeah, very pleased. Our VP External, Hannah Ehler, did an amazing job at heading the Get Out to Vote campaign. And we had events all week and students were showing up in numbers. So we were walking people to advance polls and we had like several students showing up. We were doing, Hannah had a list that you could write on of what do you want the federal government to know. And we had hundreds and hundreds of students write what they want to see from the federal government. And just in general, I've been tracking like engagement on social media and how engaged our students were. And we're part of a federal advocacy student group called CASA, which is the Canadian Alliance of Students Association. And at the end of the election, they told us that our campus had the most engaged students in the election by far, which was really exciting. So we saw a lot of students come out to the polls. And we had less issues than the provincial election, which was nice. And yeah, really proud of our students. And they, I think just in general, have been excited to come and be on campus this year and get involved.
No students turned away at the polls, I guess, this year,
far as we know. Turned away. Yeah,
that's good. That's good. But like, can you give us an idea, like when it comes to a federal election, what are the key issues? I know, with provincial funding for post-secondary education is always a concern. Is that something that students were bringing up in terms of the federal election as well?
Mostly students were focusing on like student loans and like federal financial aid, those sorts of things. So it was coming up for sure. We also have a lot of students talking about like international student issues. So there's a lot of things that the federal government controls in terms of how they can get their visas and that sort of thing. A lot of climate issues. That was a huge thing that we're seeing, even though it's not directly related to post-secondary institutions, it is indirectly related. And just like little things like kind of, give us more opportunities in the labor market afterwards, like help us with taxes, help us with this, help us with that. So there was a lot of of unexpected things on the list, but there was also just kind of like touching all aspects of student life and that sort of thing. So exciting to see that our students, you know, were wanting the federal government to hear this.
There's been a lot of talk in Sackville this year about housing issues, and I know the campus residences were pretty much chock-a-block full, and there wasn't a lot of available off-campus housing necessarily. Mm-hmm. Did you hear from a lot of students with housing issues, and what kind of issues are they having? Is it about finding housing, or is it about sort of the quality and maintenance of housing? What were you hearing?
Yeah, we're hearing a lot of issues, especially at the start of the year with finding housing. So it was actually majority international students that were really struggling to find housing. I think if you're not here and you're not aware of what like Sackville looks like or that sort of thing, people were really struggling to find avenues to get connected with landlords and all that sort of thing. So we're definitely, I think, in the midst of a bit of a housing shortage and housing crisis here, whether that's, you know, a lot to do with the fact that residents with single rooms only this year, and if we'll see that change, I don't know, but I think in general, we're seeing more students living off residents than ever, and there's going to need to be a lot of emphasis on this kind of moving forward is how can we support students with finding housing? How can we work with landlords and have a close relationship? So if we do run out of housing, we're able to very quickly kind of, you know, speak with a landlord and see what can be done and all that sort of thing. So there's been a few, maybe like, less than a handful of cases where we've had students say they weren't amazingly satisfied and were looking for other accommodations. But at this point, there's kind of so few availability that the housing that you get is the housing that you get for the year.
I wanted to ask you about mandatory vaccinations at Mount A. Very early in the game, Mount A came and said, yeah, we're going to be requiring students and staff to have mandatory vaccinations. People have pointed out it's not totally mandatory because you do have the option to be tested regularly instead of being vaccinated. The uptake on vaccinations with students is like incredibly high, like almost 99%, is it?
Yeah.
But I know mandatory vaccinations in other areas have been like highly controversial. Some people find it like a civil rights issue. Did you hear any whiff of that kind of conversation about mandatory vaccinations? When I know MassU supported the decision by the university's administration, was there any controversy as you were coming to that decision, or was it an easy one to make?
It was pretty easy for us to make. So we had been polling students for a while and doing surveys, but just competitions of if you can show us your vaccination status, like we'll enter you to win $100 from the bookstore, that sort of thing, just to really help push the message that vaccinations are important and we're keeping our students safe and we want them to be vaccinated if possible. And we were already assuming that the majority of our students were vaccinated and hearing kind of an overwhelming voice of yes, I'm doing this and I hope my other peers are doing this too. So it was an easy decision for us to make, and then kind of once the decision came out, there was nothing from our students in terms of a pushback. There was a few, I think, students who were interested in clarifications, but most of the concerns or concerning emails that I got were entirely external to the organization or the campus and the campus community, which is always interesting, but has been, I think, something I wasn't expecting in this role is how the external community responds to what we do. I do know there has been one or two students who you know, unenrolled from Mount Allison because they weren't vaccinated and didn't want to get tested, but were in the realm of one or two students that have decided, okay, I'm gonna go somewhere else, which is totally up to them, and no harm there. But there's definitely a very strict right now. You know, you have to be willing to get tested in order to come, and we're not currently we're not barring students from coming here, but just we have to make sure that we're safe. And I think we're seeing anyways that where we're 98% vaccinated, there's been doing regular testing other than the Omicron, you know, looming variant that's much more transmittable. We're able to really manage outbreaks that do happen here on campus.
All right, Charlie. I mean, I should let you go, but I wanted to ask you about one more topic, which is sort of like a banner topic for 2021, I think, and that's reconciliation. We had our first national Truth and Reconciliation Day in 2021. Tell us, I guess, how things were on the Mount A campus and how things are and continuing to go. Mount A is somewhat active in reconciliation issues. There's an Indigenous Affairs coordinator working at Mount A. There is student groups active. Tell us about the scene there and, you know, what students are thinking and feeling about reconciliation.
Yeah, it's very important, close to heart to a lot of our students. So this year we have almost 100 Indigenous students on our campus, which is the biggest that population has ever been on our campus before. But, you know, just in general, I think we're seeing with the events that have been happening in terms of residential schools and the unmarked graves, it was a touching and very real and very close to heart subject for not just our Indigenous community, but for all students. And it's really important to them. And so we saw this year the university hired two elders in residence. So they'll be able to support the Indigenous Affairs Coordinator and support our Indigenous students. And I can't, you know, take any credit for what the Indigenous Affairs Office has done, but they've done an amazing job setting up, making spaces in the student center for their students. They have a room for the Indigenous students, and I think it's also working as a student food bank for the time being as well. And they also have a space off campus, and they had students hired as like an Indigenous support, like kind of gardener this year to set up and make like a sweat lodge for these students and a fire pit and all these sorts of things. And there's a teepee there, and it's really nice to see that presence on our campus because we've known it's here, but I feel like this is the first year we're really starting to see the Indigenous presence shine through and just and not just be, you know, we know where there's Indigenous students, but we're not really doing anything to support them. We know there's Indigenous students and we can directly see the support there. So there's still a lot to do in terms of reconciliation. And I think there's a lot to do in terms of decolonizing parts of our institution. And I know that's in the works, and there's academic strategic plans coming out this year that's from the university that's going to be touching on that. And we've been lucky on our council to have two Indigenous representatives, one that serves as a senator on the University Senate and gets a say in academic matters. But it's been huge. And even this year for orientation, the Indigenous Affairs Coordinator set up the first kind of Indigenous orientation for her students that were coming through. And we spoke with Patty. All the orientation leaders spoke with Patty as part of our training this year to be able to kind of learn and reflect. So it's been interesting, and I've been very lucky to see all the work that's been going on there. And But yeah, it's still a lot of, I think, healing to do in terms of reconciliation and looking to support that more in the new year.
All right, Charlie. I thank you so much for your time. Do you have, looking into 2022, what are any resolutions that you're making for yourself or for Massey?
That's a really good question, and not one I'm sure I've even thought about, because I'm still in 2021 mode for sure.
No pressure.
I don't know if I quite have one yet. I'll have to get back to you on that. But thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your time, Charlie. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You've been listening to a holiday edition of Tantramar Report, a year in review with Mount Allison Students Union President Charlie Burke. We hope you're enjoying a well-deserved break over this holiday season and look forward to coming back in 2022 with our regular Tantramar Report. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.